Dear brothers and sisters, good evening. Thanks so many of you for coming to pray with us this evening for protection from hurricanes and celebrate St. Medard. I want to say a few things about St. Medard's life, a few facts, so that we can all kind of have that clear in our head, but then I want to draw out the meaning and what it has to do with hurricanes and everything like that. So St. Medard was born in 456, probably, and died in 545, so he lived to be 89 years old. And he saw a lot in his life. During his life, the Roman Empire, as we normally list it in history books, fell. It was a long process, but 476 is normally given as the day where barbarian hordes swept through Rome and sacked Rome and overturned the emperor. And this was a long process that Medard would have seen parts of throughout his life. Civilization literally ending. Right? He watched it all happen. Everything that had meant civilization for six centuries in Europe vanished throughout his life. And in its place came different barbarian tribes that kind of plowed and picked over what Rome had left, including the church. And churchmen took on very important roles during this time because they represented literacy and order, and this is something that people didn't bring. What was Gaul was invaded and then made a kingdom by one tribe of these barbarians, and that tribe was named, anybody know? The Franks, which is where we get France from. And Medard has a very important role in that early Frankish kingdom, which I'll get to in a second. The legend goes that as a young man, someone came to his dad's door begging for help, begging for financial assistance. And Medard, having nothing else at hand to give him, gave him his dad's prized breeding stallion, which is like tens of thousands of dollars in today's money. Okay. And just said, God bless you in the name of Jesus. And the guy kind of rode off. And when Medard's dad came in from the fields and found out what had happened, he was, you know, not happy. If somebody shows up at your door and your kid hands them the keys to your car, you're probably not going to be terribly happy either, right? And Medard's dad said, we're going after this guy. We're getting my horse back. And as they went, at least according to the story, there was a huge downpour of rain. And as they were going, Medard's dad got drenched, and an eagle flew over Medard, I guess kind of like a heavenly, miraculous umbrella, protecting him from every drop of rain. Did that literally happen? I don't know. Eagles flap their wings. It seems to me like you get wet no matter what, you know. But I do think that idea of shelter is very important in Medard's life. And I'll come back to that. Medard makes me very happy in the fact that he lived his life, aside from that, seemingly as a very simple man. He became a priest of a diocese in northern France and just lived as a priest. I mean, didn't do anything special as a priest. I mean, I guess he did kind of stuff special, but we don't have any record of any special stuff. And he lived as a priest until the age of 74. Do you understand? Until the age of 74. When the Pope said, now's a good time to make you a bishop. At the age of 74. In the 500s. It's not like they had great medical care. And not only did he raise up Medard to be bishop, he then said you need to move the episcopal see from the city it was in to the city of Noyon. And so he did that and built a new cathedral and everything in the first year. And the Pope said, hey man, you did such a great job on that. I'm giving you the second neighboring diocese, so then now you're going to be in charge of two dioceses at the age of 76, and I want you to integrate them into being one very large diocese. Right. And he did. And he brought order and life and blessing to these dioceses. He visited, he walked on foot throughout the diocese, bringing the gospel. I mean, remember, everything was falling apart. The roads were falling apart. The messenger systems were falling apart. It wasn't easy to get around. And can you just imagine this man at 79, 81, 85, walking through the forests of northern France to bring the gospel. One of his greatest works, which I'm very grateful to him for, involves Saint Radegund, who's a great saint. She's a wonderful saint, but I don't have time to go into her life, but this is where they connect. Saint Radegund was from what is today Eastern Germany, and the King of France, one of the kings of France, Chilperic, invaded Germany, murdered her entire family in front of her. She was like 12, except for her brother, and then on the spot wed her as his fourth wife, current, and claimed it was a Catholic wedding, and dragged her back to France. And then he got mad at her for something. The marriage was never consummated, and he got mad at her for something, maybe that, and slit her brother's throat in front of her. And that night, she fled. And she fled to the only person she thought could help. She fled from the palace, through the forest, like hundreds of miles, to Noyon, to go to an 80-something-year-old bishop who took her in, almost immediately consecrated her as a virgin and instituted her as a deaconess and put her under the church's care. And when Childebrick showed up with his Frankish barbarian army, Medard just by himself said, what are you going to do about it? Like, seriously, what are you going to do about it? You're going to kill me? You're going to make me a martyr? You're going to kill her? Do you understand your entire people would rebel? You have no power here. And he faced down the entire army and they went back home. And Radegund would go on to lead a huge religious revival in central France, and lots of other saints are connected to her that she inspired to become saints. So he did a great thing there. And then he died at 89, but I want to think about the shelter he gave to Radegund, about the care he gave to his diocese, about the time of chaos in which he lived, and the order and peace that he gave in the midst of that. In the book of Genesis, at creation begins with, in Hebrew, it's called tohu wabohu. It's a fun word to say, a fun phrase to say. And we call it the waters, but what it means is really kind of indistinguished chaos, a sea of chaos. And then from that, God draws out order. But throughout the scriptures, storms are always the sign of chaos creeping back in. Except in one case, which I'll get to in a second. But sin spreads in the days of Noah, and what does that cause? The whole world then gets flooded. Jonah flees from the call of God, and what happens? A great storm swells up to destroy the ship. Jesus is in the boat having faced opposition, and what happens? A great storm swells up, and the apostles start to worry that it's because of Jesus. All right. And then he stands up and rebukes the winds and the seas, and they calm. And then, and we didn't pick these readings for today, by the way. These are not special readings for today. They just happen to be the readings from Monday of this week. And then we have this beautiful story of Elijah. And Elijah, no rain, right? Controlling the weather. And this is very important. Elijah was not just doing weather tricks. Elijah was facing off against the god Baal, the fake god Baal, who the Israelites were abandoning God to worship because Baal was the god of rain and thunder. And because the Israelites had gone from being herders and shepherds to being planters and farmers, they said, well, we need a god who controls the rain. And so they started worshiping Baal, and Elijah's like, you think God doesn't control the rain, right? And so by the power of God, he causes a drought for many years. Then he summons back the rain, And one of the best things is that there's a competition between 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah. And he says, you know, ask your God to call down fire from the sky. He doesn't mean literal fire from the sky, he means a lightning bolt, right? And these 450 prophets are going around all morning long, and Elijah is like literally throwing shade at them the whole time. He's like, call louder, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom, give him a second, he can answer. And then when it comes time for Elijah, Elijah says, douse the whole thing in water. I said, it has to be lit by fire, let's make it even harder. Throw water all over it. And they do. And he prays for about 2 seconds, and God sends down lightning and consumes the sacrifice. You see, dear brothers and sisters, what the Bible understands is that natural events are natural events, but that natural events also symbolize something deeper. And they're more than a symbol, they're a symptom. I want you to hear that. They're more than a symbol, they're a symptom. Okay? The word love is a symbol. Does anybody have a problem if I say the word love? No. But if I showed up at a young woman's house with a bouquet of red roses, that would still be a symbol, but you'd start to worry, right? Because that's more than just a symbol, it's a symptom. We don't just turn to God and say, like, Lord, it would be convenient for us not to have hurricanes. We turn to God and say, we know that the disasters of this world are the fruit of sin, the disruption of chaos that's entered the world, a going back to the time before creation to the tohu wabohu. We know that storms are never just storms, that they come with full rage and destroy people's lives and upend people's finances and really challenge people's faith. And we know that the scriptures are full of God controlling storms. And for 15 centuries now, the church, especially French people, have prayed to Saint Medard, this great saint of shelter, to shelter them from the storm, to provide protection, to provide rain in time of drought, and to provide drought in time of storm. Right? And we too turn to him today. And this is not superstition. This is not magic. This is not a trick or a gimmick or some form of folklore. This is a belief that God is the creator of all. This is a belief that God frequently has shown control over natural forces through the hands of his saints in Scripture. This has been revealed to us. This is the experience that I have and that you have, that the intercession of Saint Medard has actually provably, well, we can't prove it, but pretty odd coincidence, blocked off storms. I mean, not that he causes bad storms elsewhere, but I always told my people in Eunice when this happened that we would pray to St. Medard and nobody else around us would. And one time a hurricane came and everything outside of our parish was like messed up and our parish was fine. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that in a weird way, but clearly he listened to our prayers. Prayers matter. The intercession of the saints matters. And it has power. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we gather tonight to seek the intercession of Saint Medard, to seek the power of God, to seek shelter from the storm, and even more deeply, as Saint Medard lived in a world that went more and more over to chaos, and yet himself gave more and more care and charity and order. So we pray too that in all the storms of our lives, whether literal or metaphorical, we might find shelter, we might find order, you might find the hand of God. God bless you all.